Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
There are always masters to assist us to grow in our understanding of the way things are. What is real? Asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. Real isn't how you're made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand. Reality, the skin horse teaches, can never be conceptualized. We live into its realization. It is in living with conscious awareness that the unreal is worn away and the shining clarity of the real awakens in our consciousness. We have to walk the path to experience compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is David in Texas.
Hey, David.
This is definitely my favorite section of this week's assignment because there is just a way that it reverberates, and I know what's being talked about because I've had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been looking at this week, and I would appreciate your guidance on, is as I read through the assignment, which I've read through at least a half dozen times and listened to from recordings I've made just as many, I've noticed that I've moved back and forth between being confused and wondering what's going on and there being complete clarity as to what is being said. And what I've seen in that is that seems to be the difference between, I think, being identified and being in awareness, where when I'm identified, there's confusion and ego wants me to understand something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I'm in awareness, I simply know it. I don't have to learn it. I don't have to study it. It's self-evident. I don't know.
So
I've been looking at the difference between understanding and knowing, but trying not to make that into my usual karmic pattern of one is good and the other is bad.
Yeah.
There simply are.
Yeah, that's always a temptation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I would say, of course, it's spot on. That what you're seeing with clarity is the process that ego does to get us to look to conditioned mind. That understanding means what has been encountered has been digested by conditioned mind, such that it now has ownership of it. Which, of course, I hope everybody can hear just in that sentence, that it has nothing to do with anything that is real.
Right.
It's just that it has been turned into something that fits well enough into conditioned mind's orientation that it can become part of that. And the process that you're pointing out that's so important for us to see is while we are looking at conditioned mind telling us that we don't understand this, and we need to understand this. You know, you hear us say often, confusion happens when we look to conditioned mind for clarity. And that's it. The process of looking to conditioned mind is confusing, and it prevents us from understanding anything, excuse me, which is the point for egocentricity, and we're left in that we didn't get anything out of whatever it was except feeling bad. And, of course, that's supposed to turn into, so quit doing this, right? Quit trying to understand this stuff. Whereas the other thing that you described so clearly is when we are simply present, then there is clarity, there is understanding. We know. Now, the part I like best about that is, so you read something and you just know it, and it's a feeling. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It usually happens in the body, not in the head, right? And it's just a feeling. And if somebody said, "Well, David, now what did you get out of that?" There would be a right? Because it's not an intellectual understanding that you can then explain to somebody else. Now, cumulatively, it will become that. You will have the ability to speak from that place, but it won't be a place of intellectual knowledge.
Okay, if I could just clarify, I think what you've refined what I was trying to say, and what I'm getting is that it's really when in awareness I can have both knowledge and understanding. It's really ego doesn't do understanding, it just does confusion. Is that
precisely?
Okay.
Precisely.
Okay,
yep.
Well, I did not see that before, so thank you for pointing that out. I was trying to make it into a dualistic thing once again, which is
well, we do, and we always have help doing that. You know, the voice in the head that's saying, "Well, but yeah, but what? Yeah, what about? Don't help me,
please. Don't help me,
please." All right, thank you, David.
Gosho.
Thanks, David. You know, sorry, it brings me to the teaching that the antidote to ignorance, the root cause of suffering, is not knowledge, but awareness.
Yes, yes, yeah. And it kind of gets into that place where we have to understand that words are used very differently in an awareness practice than they are in the rest of life. So we'll be reading along at something and run into knowledge. It'll often have a capital K on it. And we have a sense that they're pointing at something really different, but not quite sure what it is. And that's the place where David is exploring, right? Mm-hmm. That there's a knowledge, but it's not the same as the, I'm going to learn this and be able to just kind of parrot it back to you out of my lowercase knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, Ashwini. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hey, Kim.
Wow. So I had an extreme reaction. Well, I started weeping during the Velveteen Rabbit section. When I first read it, and I know some other readers, some other listeners, some other Sangha felt the same way. And I've been looking at that, kind of holding it as a koan. Because I think as other Sangha members have talked, as we've talked about this week, there was something about having all the experiences that cause your hair and your to be worn off and your eyes to drop out and your joints to be loose, that is so bittersweet because we couldn't anticipate, we could never anticipate what was going to happen. And I I wouldn't have chosen it, but I'm so glad on this side of it that I'm to that point. I'm worn out like that because it's just suffused with experience and wisdom and love and nothing tangible that you could anticipate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love that you're trying to put words to that, to the quality of what splits the heart open in that reading, in that process. And the words that you used are so beautiful because there is that lack of anticipation. And I project innocence.
Yes.
Right? There's an innocence that we think is lost within quotes as the identity transforms from the limited to the unlimited.
Yes. And raising
because
children.
Because the process is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
The process is a crucible. It
yes.
is a process of, within quotes, pain. And
yes.
yet, when we are through it, what we arrive at is something we wouldn't trade in that loss.
Exactly. And I think because we all know what happens at the end of the story, for me, that was part of it, is that there was that pain and transformation that had to happen in order for, you know, for the transformation to real, to happen. And I think that's happening to me. And part of me feels like I'm watching my children grow up and they're young adults now, and just the anticipation of that happening for them also feels bittersweet. And there's nothing I can do about that. Like, I don't want to, but at the same time, it's painful. It hurts, like the skin horse
yes.
said. It hurts.
That is the quality of love. Well, or as so
yeah.
many of the sages before have said, that's the quality of compassion.
Yeah.
Which we don't arrive at if we have an intellectual understanding of anything, unless we go through that process and go through the process of becoming real, we don't have access to it. The suffering with, and yet knowing everything is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, and everybody,
you.
And Sherry for this year. It's just been so transformational, and I'm so excited about what's coming next, and of course excited about here, but I appreciate mm-hmm. all of the time and love that you have put into this show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Happy.
All the love we've all put into this.
Yes.
Thank you, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite line in the reading is the one that you two were just pointing to, that when we're real, we don't mind being hurt.
Mm. Yes.
Isn't
yes,
that the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, and that exactly that the projection that good can be harmed, to recognizing that capital G good cannot be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transformation of levels.
Nothing can happen to love.
Nothing can happen to love. Yeah. Mm. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. I'm about this assignment, reality. I'm thinking about reframing the narrative and accepting as a possibility that it's not true, some of these automatic reactions, conversations to things like, it's practice oriented, these examples like, oh, I'm not listening, or I stopped meditating in the morning. And there's an automatic, like, you're a bad person.
And
I mean, that's the same process that talked you out of these things.
Right. And it's distracting me during the call. Yeah. Oh, that's wrong. So you're a bad person.
Uh-huh.
But reframing it to, like, you know, it could be a completely different narrative.
Go ahead.
I showed up for a 9 o'clock.
Yes, Emily. Do not lose sight of that. But here's the thing. You don't have to be on the defensive. Okay?
Oh.
This is a nasty voice talking to you. Now, I would fall back on my old friend projection. Oh, so you're projecting that I'm a bad person because I didn't meditate. That's really interesting. And you, why do you care so deeply about whether or not I meditate? Because I thought you, I think I recognize you as the same voice that was talking me out of it. So can you explain to me how all this works?
Yeah, when you said that, I just got like a lot more distance from it.
Yes, you do not have to defend yourself to a hateful voice in your head.
Yeah, because then it feels like that way. It feels like I'm engaging in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm listening to it.
Oh.
And then I'm saying, but
it's calling the shots.
This and this and this.
That's right. That's right. And you believe it. You're defending yourself because you believe it. Oh, yeah, I guess that does make me a bad person, doesn't it? Ooh, well, geez.
Yeah,
but,
I believe
okay,
it.
But I'm doing this, and isn't that good? Instead of, oh, you load a, you know what?
Yeah, it's like taking it to a next level instead of believing it and then trying to dispute it. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, let's look at this.
And engage it. What are you talking about? By the way, good point. I'm going to meditate right now. Thank you for the reminder, which is another great one. Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've stopped meditating in the morning. Thank you. Yes, that's good. I'm going to set some alarms because you're right. That's really important to me. So either way, make it defend itself or make it your best friend. Everything that it says to you, just take it as a reminder. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to be a bad person. You know, that's why I do awareness practice, because I've realized I am a good person, and that's what I want to be. You know, and just go on for a little while like that, and you'll encounter silence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And I just wanted to add, you know, I keep trying to work out coming to the farm again, because I love hearing about the trees and I want to continue. So I'm
good. Well, we're putting sweaters on them on the next 50 or so, and then we're busy making little dresses as you probably read, and so plenty to do.
Okay, maybe next week it's penciled in. Okay.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Thanks, Emily.
Okay. Thank you.
Go happy now.
Go happy.
Thanks, Emily. Nothing like love for trees, Sherry, that puts us in touch with reality.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Anything. That, I think that's why we're so moved by the Velveteen Rabbit story, right? We just, whatever puts us in touch with that innocence that is what we authentically are, the defenseless, the sweet, the good, the loving,
sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, I'm Gabriel Island.
Hey, Todd. I'm guessing that's you because I only heard Gabriel Island.
Let me move my phone, sir. Get a better Wi-Fi reception. Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Oh, excellent. So these assignments are so interesting. The last three or four, I've had really direct, visceral experiences of the assignment out in life. And the most recent one was my boss gave me some information which didn't come in alignment with my experience, and I got really triggered, and it felt really, really real, because now I'm looking through conditioned mind in this interaction with my boss. And I called him on it, and I said, no, I, what you're telling me isn't my experience. I think this happened. And then his ego, I projected. It didn't really end well. And after, I got to reflect on, wow, what universe are we each creating in each moment? And I went to compassion, because he was under a lot of stress. There's a lot of changes at the company. And I realized that stress really triggers ego in both of us, and it becomes really, really real. But it really, I don't feel like, I didn't get a sense it was really it wasn't the reality of the situation. And,
Gosh, that's exactly so, right?
Yeah,
that is so exactly the case. That if we are not practitioners, we get fooled into believing that the separation is actually real. And that other thing you're pointing to, which I think is what you're saying, right, Todd? So here it is, the stress creates a circumstance that causes two egos to clash.
Yes.
But it's actually not about that, right? We think it's about the clash of perspectives rather than this, within quotes, the stress of the situation. The real reality is there are two individual consciousness is becoming more conscious. That's really what is real. The content of it isn't. And we do sense that in that disidentified perspective that you're pointing at, which is, in the world of appearances, this ego clash appears to be real, but it isn't. It has nothing to do with what's actually going on.
Right. I was very identified during the end of that shift. And then subsequent shifts, again, in my interactions with my boss, ego just kept getting super triggered. And I tried to limit my interactions with him, knowing that I just couldn't stay present. But towards the end, I was able to step back enough to in a sense, let it go or become disidentified enough to realize it was just all made up.
Yes. Well, the wisdom in that being the letting something that's not you transform the situation. Because we could become super identified with being identified and trying to fix it. There's something wrong with this the way it is, but the relaxation into the velveteen rabbit process of this is the transformation. This is how the transformation happens. And so there's a waiting. I think Sherry mentioned it on the radio show last night, right? Well, we relax into, there is no clarity. I can't do anything about this. And so I'm going to relax into the wisdom of the perfection of the unfolding that this is. I don't know it. I can't see it. I can't feel it even. And yet it's there. And so I'm going to surrender till it passes and life reasserts itself.
Thank you for that. It passes. Yeah, that super identification that I experienced in ego reacting to ego. And I just saw how visceral ego hates ego. I mean, ego's hate ego. And what came to mind is like, I can just see how wars are started. It just, egos hate egos. And if there's any resistance between individuals or nations, it just escalates. And I could see without a lot of practice, that situation kind of really escalated. But I had enough practice to, like you said, step back, just let life unfold, begin to disidentify, and then just come back to the best of as I could and not let it escalate. And it never did escalate to a point where it would have been very unskillful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to wait it out, to not try to affect the circumstance or my inner experience, but to trust the unfolding in that place.
Thank you very much.
Which I think is sort of why we get into those situations where in super identification, it doesn't feel like I can disidentify, right? Because that too is perfection. How else would I learn that? Again, Sherry was talking about that on the radio show yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I'm born of karma, I'm heir to karma, I abide in karma.
Yeah,
and I'm supported by it.
I'm supported by karma. Right, yeah. It was totally the recitation there. That whole experience was all karmically charged in all those multi-dimensional layers that we try to describe karma, which we really can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mentioned it, I could see how many layers. Just so grateful for practice and being able to not indulge ego, either ego, right?
Yes. Not indulge ego, but trust life.
Yes. That was talked about on
the
radio show.
That's a different movement. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a different movement. Yes, absolutely.
A different process. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for the year-long retreat. I've just really appreciated it and enjoyed it. And I've participated and I've been as best I could there every morning live, and looking forward to all the practice opportunities that you have on the email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you,
Amazing.
God.
Okay, amazing. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, Sherry.
And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. It's Michelle in Mountain View.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Sherry. I'm here. it took me a long time to put myself in the queue, you know, but I got to the call because before the call I started reading something. And, you know, there's this, I think I mentioned recently I got this diagnosis of
mm-hmm.
osteoporosis, right? So it's become this mm-hmm. big content and I've got to learn all I can. I've got to fix it, and I've got to. So it's a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get to see myself brought to this place where I've been before, but it's been a while. You know, it's like another workshop, and it's, I've been it in periods of time where I just feel like I'm on the edge of the cliff,
mm-hmm.
and I'm walking along, and there's this big dark abyss to the right of me. And I could just fall right in.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like, but I'm on the cliff is solid. It's like this, and there's someone on my left holding me.
Mm.
And I'm just walking along, you know, and I'm feeling held there. And there's a stability, you know, there's something that's come, like, I think that stabilizing in awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just staying, you know, and getting through those really shaky
mm-hmm.
moments or periods mm-hmm. of time without really collapsing in the abyss. You know, I've held on with two hands
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and there are times when it just kind of breaks, like and everything seems actually okay. And so I feel like, yeah, it's possible to still everything have. It's still okay, you know, and then I mm-hmm. go out of it. And then so I'm just going through that. And, you know, last week and this week, you know, like the dark night of the soul, and there's this, no, I don't want another. No,
no,
I don't. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, let me tell you that you are going to love next week's assignment. I think it was probably written for you.
Oh,
so there's that. So you got last week, dark night of the soul. This week we've got the Velveteen Rabbit, right? And you're mm-hmm. kind of in that, your fur is being rubbed off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you start to feel a little shabby here.
Yep.
And next week is, but anyway. Yes, and particularly that feeling of being held, being supported.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got that left hand, right?
Yep.
And in fact, you'd have to let go of that left hand and be willing to tip over to the
mm-hmm.
right, right,
mm-hmm.
To go into that abyss. And
mm-hmm.
What struck me as you were describing that is being in that place of, I don't know how this is going to go. I have mm-hmm. no idea. But, you know, it's not that bad yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning a great deal, and mm-hmm. I have a tremendous opportunity to be with this human being mm-hmm. To support her as she goes through this.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
Did I kind of smell what you were cooking there?
Yeah. Yeah. There's just these moments of kind of a clearing of the fog, because it seems like it just put this pall over, you know, sometimes without even the words, or it just feel like this heaviness and this doom.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
sometimes
it clears with a feeling of, you know, like a just a kind of an, just, I don't know how to put words.
I'm here.
Yeah.
It's like, right. If somebody, that's the difference. I'm in the fog. There's an abyss. You know, I'm not quite sure of my foot. It's just things are getting dark. It feels really hard. I don't know. And then the fog clears and I'm here. And all of that goes away in a moment. It's not like you don't have osteoporosis. You do. But that's not the point. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know, okay, I'm in a workshop. I've got a lot to learn, got a lot to attend to, got a human being to take care of here. It's like having another child, isn't it? You know, you've got that little girl, you've got to take care of her, now you've got another one, you've got to take care of her.
Right.
Okay, you know how to do this.
Right, yeah, and really, bringing that got to take care of her to the foreground, right? I think it's been very easy to push her aside and, we'll take care of her later. And now it's like, now is later.
And you know, Michelle, that could be a big clue. That could be a big clue in that, when we're real, we don't mind being hurt. So it's been easy to push her aside.
Yeah.
And now it's not. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can be grateful. I can actually, you know, there's the, you know, when these, we talk about the gifts and when you're just not seeing it, you know, just pushing it away. But, you know, I feel that, there's some, you know, we're going to go through this and there's going to be gifts.
And we don't know. That's right. And we don't know. We have no idea how it's going to go, but we're going to go through it and we'll do it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Go happy now. Go happy.
Let's all go happy, Michelle.
All right.
Thanks, Michelle. And thank you, Sherry. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. And Ashwini, go happy.